All right, guys, let's do this. This is gonna be fun. I'm joined today by two longtime Iltons, Angela Dowd, who is retiring from our board. It seems a little weird to say retiring, but we'll come back to that in a second. And then Leland Smith. Thank you, Leland, for being on our committees. Thank you for being a valued business partners. And thank you for doing all things ILTA. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so it's Hopscast. Let's talk a little bit about hops. Everybody's got a drink. Leland, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Kona Big Wave.
Okay.
I'm a beer snob, but this is good beer.
All right. Angela, what are you drinking?
I'm actually drinking champagne.
Of course you are.
Well, it's not even a course. I like good beer, but sometimes in the snack area of Mandalay Bay, there may not have been something that tickled my fancy.
And I am drinking something that I can't pronounce because I'm pretty sure none of us have ever seen this as a beer. We'll say it's a hop, and it tastes a lot like Modelo. So let's dive in. Leland, Angela, question for each of you. What's your hometown?
Well, I hail from Marshfield, Vermont, small town, great state.
Woo, Vermont! Always looking at Vermont for me.
Hence the beer snob.
Yep.
I'm currently living in Memphis, Tennessee, though, and I've been there just over 2 years now.
We're sorry for you.
As am I.
Okay. Angela, where do you hail from?
A little bit of everywhere. Born in Iowa, lived in Vermont again.
Woo, Vermont! Yes, this is a Vermont hops.
It's very, very, very okay. Vermont.
Yep.
New York. My parents are in Idaho, but I currently reside in Boston.
And can both of you tell me what your favorite team is?
Sports team.
Okay. Yeah. You're gonna pass. Okay, Angela. Let's move on straight to you. If you say the Red Sox,
sports team.
Okay, so as a Cubs fan and a diehard Cubs fan.
My friend.
Okay, well, so Cubs it is. Great, I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about, I'll sing the song for you, but not on camera. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of when you were a kid. I always ask this, what did you want to be? Leland, what did you want to be when you were a kid?
Luke Skywalker.
Fair. What do you want to be as an adult?
Why did that change?
Good answer. Angela?
I never had a career in mind. I just wanted to have a good time.
So both of you are literally living out your childhood dreams. This is an interesting trifecta because I actually wanted to do what I'm doing now. I wanted to be a publisher. Answer the all-time ILTA question, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Obviously Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have gotten that wrong.
I made it very clear.
Yeah. You have clearly made it clear.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow Joy in all things Star Trek, but I differ from her in because the Kirk stuff is trash. I'm probably going to be fired because I just said that, but I am a true Deep Space Nine human.
DS9 is probably the best.
It is.
I do
absolutely
love me some Next Generation.
Next Generation.
No disrespect to Star Trek.
Sure.
But the original's got the kitsch.
Oh, it's got
it's got the total kitsch.
It totally
like,
has the kitsch.
And as long as you're not taking it seriously,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Right? Like 100%. There are some parts of it.
There's a tribble right above your head right
And there
now.
Is a tribble right above my head. Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't multiply.
Yeah.
Actually, let's hope it does. Yeah.
That would be weird.
All right. Hopscast questions, as we normally do. In legal technology, do you think that innovation has, for better or for worse, changed the way that we are looking at collaboration?
Better.
I'm going to go with better as well. I think it has.
It has to, right?
It's improving.
And it allows us to collaborate with more people that we may not have been able to collaborate with before certain innovations, right? Like you were limited, whether that was a physical limitation, whether that was a limitation in honestly what people are comfortable with, right? Some people, you know, it's like as we think about the pandemic and people working from home, we've had to find different mediums and people are comfortable in different mediums. So I think that the innovations allow us to reach a broader audience of people to collaborate with in a way that they and we are comfortable with.
Agreed.
We've had some interesting collaborations over the last year, most recently working with another company on certain assessments. So they are handling more of the productivity layer and the process layer. We're doing more of the infrastructure. And so the co-authoring is often, you know, in real time, it's very intense. There's a lot of feedback that's happening as the collaboration grows. And there's a thought that attorneys like to hold the pen.
Yes.
And so sometimes there's a resistance to collaboration there. But it's one of the things that always comes up during these assessments. You know, how are you collaborating? What do you use to collaborate? And it doesn't necessarily mean co-authoring a document.
But it also doesn't mean the tool, right?
You need tools.
Absolutely. You need the tools. And then you can choose which tools you're comfortable with. But I think that some of it is also an exposure. So they may not think co-authoring is a thing for them because they like this sort of idea of control. But there is something about being able to talk to somebody about it, actually see the change, as opposed to, I'll email it to you. Oh, yes. You email it back. We'll talk on the phone. Is this what you want? Back and forth and back. The ping pong, right? Is like to be able to do it in one shot, to be able to do it quickly. I think that once they get used to that benefit, going back is something they're actually resistant to. Yeah.
Just before I came to ILTA, actually, we had a request that popped up, you know, sort of last minute. Can you get a couple of LOEs out the door before you disappear? And we didn't have our SharePoint site set up for that client yet, right? They weren't a client, they didn't exist. So I had to write them and then email them to a colleague. And that felt so archaic in that moment to have a static document that he would work from, not something he could post and we could both review. And
can you send me the latest version?
Right.
I don't want to hear that anymore.
As a publisher, you're like, I don't.
I also want to have, and we've delved into something that usually Hopscotch doesn't dive into, but I love the idea. When I talk co-authoring, I mean it in a very basic sense of the word.
Yeah.
The compound word co-authoring means a bunch of different things these days to a bunch of different people, which is a little insane to me because the basic level of co-authoring is that multiple people are working on a document at the same time. They're co-authoring together. Mm-hmm. I would have thought that this was an actual thing. It's not. It's defined as a bunch of different ways. How do you guys define co-authoring?
I define it in your way. So whether that's
correct.
There is a document and, you know, you both have the capability of editing at the same time, or even, you know, in the, I'm going to call it more primitive, but I don't mean that in a negative way,
no.
Is that you have a document up on Zoom, for example, or some other, you know, product like that, and you are making the changes live as you're having conversation and discussion about it.
It's a collaborative piece.
It's a collaborative piece. You're coming to consensus about something in real time.
Sure.
I will say, although typically I mean it in real time, I think that it can be asynchronous because the good tools these days will show you the recent changes so you can pop in and out and understand.
Level of that asynchronous piece. If they're not, I don't think that co-authoring actually works. I don't think co-authoring to a large extent, the way people are viewing co-authoring, if they're looking at two documents, someone has made changes to document A and they've opened document B, that's not co-authoring.
Agreed.
No, I don't think that's co-authoring. I view it as either, if you're doing it asynchronously, it's almost the, you know, and you've done it, where you can actually, you see, like, oh, this person went into this
document.
This
isn't track changes we're talking about.
No.
And that seems to be co-authoring, though. For a large swath of legal technology, that is co-authoring.
But I will argue that is very primitive co-authoring, right? It's this...
Sure, let me get my rock somewhere in the back.
It's not that bad, but it's that first step, this idea that you're both working on something, and then you evolve that into the more sophisticated, more easy to use. Like, really, you know, I think track changes is that legacy that people are comfortable with. It's a security blanket. They know how to do it, right? There's ish. But, you know, they know that. And so that comfort level can be translated, but it is a primitive form of it.
But additionally, co-authoring in the real-time sense requires that two people are present at the same time.
Yes.
And technology allows us to not have to deal with that. You know, if I'm working at midnight and someone's going to pick up at 8 a.m., I can let them know where I was. I can comment things. I can let them know what was going through my mind. So coming back to those LOEs, you know, I went through and I'm reworking certain things that we've used in other places. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, does this apply? You know, review this, flag this, consider this. And it's an effective means of communication.
Agreed.
To both, you know, grow a document without doing 87 version controls and back and forth.
But I think that it also makes for much more effective meetings. So, like, you can have a working meeting now, and instead of having, oh, well, I think I'll make this change and this change, and I'll send you the edits, and then we'll review one more time. It's like, no, let's just get on it. Let's just do it real time, work out the semantics, work out the wording, and we're done. So it's that being able to complete things in less time, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I would like to equate, if we can, your level of volunteerism with co-authoring. And this is going to be a little bit of a stretch, so stay with me. We love a good metaphor at ILTA.
Absolutely.
We talk often that ILTACon specifically is about connections and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is very little difference between co-authoring and your board service and your volunteer service. I think there is a co-authoring for the greater good. Mm-hmm. All right, well, now we agree that I've made that very long jump. But let's talk about volunteerism for a second. You guys have both been longtime volunteers. Angela, you've served on our board for your full tenure. Leland, you've been a volunteer in multiple capacities, and certainly now as a business partner. That's a different type of volunteerism. I'm going to say it. I think business partners, to a large extent, are an extension of our volunteer arm. You come to us with products and services for our members and our other partners as well that equates the idea of we're all in this together. How do we build a tool or a service that best serves the legal market? Let's talk about your volunteerism. Leland, I'd like to start with you. What are you doing right now for ILTA?
Right now for ILTA, I am on the conference planning committee, content committee. So we are working on building out the sessions. I'm responsible for two sessions, although we had a recent drop, so I'm moderating a third session, but haven't really been involved in it beyond that. This year was an easier year in some ways, because previous years we've had 5-6 sessions per person sometimes. So we're only dealing with two, which I appreciate, but it is a hybrid environment, so it's complicated. And the additional layers of technology involved there, despite being a tech conference, you know, it's always tough mm-hmm. the day you go live, as I'm sure we know. So that's my current position.
Angela, what about you? I mean, I know that you're on our board, but you had positions before that as well.
Absolutely. So I started out as, back in the day, they had these things called city reps, which are very similar to our current member liaisons.
Okay.
And I refer to myself as a ninja city rep because I wasn't actually really a city rep, and I thought we should just have a meeting. So I just started putting things together.
That makes sense.
Which is very me, if anyone knows me. And then I became a regional vice president. Back in the day, the member liaisons, the city reps, were divided up by regions, and I was in charge of sort of the Northeast, which was, you know, New Jersey, New York, up through New England, you know, that whole area.
So the best part of the country.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody can cheers to that one.
Absolutely. And then I transitioned to the board. So I was secretary of the board first, and then I became president of the board. Now I'm treasurer.
One of the things I find most interesting about ILTA is that people can move volunteer roles every couple of years, mm-hmm. every other year for some of these positions. Mm-hmm. Can you answer an ongoing question we get as volunteers? What's the lift as a volunteer?
It depends, right? So, and that's what I think is really the beauty of it. Like, there is no one definition of what a volunteer is. If you have 2 hours a week to give, there are different positions for you. If you only want to speak or write and you just want one small chunk, absolutely. If you want to be behind the scenes, there are volunteer opportunities for you. If you want to be in front of the camera, there are opportunities for you. I think that it really depends on sort of one, what your time frame is that you have available. So it's really dependent upon the person, but also the things that you want to get out of the volunteer experience, right? So for me, oddly enough, I'm really a fairly introverted person. I don't like being in front of people. I know you're giving me that look. I don't like being in front of people. I really would rather be in my jammies on a Saturday night in my room.
On Thursday, you will be in your jammies.
I will
be
in my jammies.
Yep.
But you know what? The volunteerism really taught me was how to get out of my shell, how to interact with people of different levels, how to have strategic conversations in the boardroom to reach consensus. I mean, all of these skills are things that, and this isn't any shade on my firm, but generally speaking, professional staff and firm do not get the professional development attention, just historically,
sure.
that let's say attorneys do. And one of the great things about ILTA is it's a very safe and supportive area with which you can learn a lot of leadership skills to really advance your career as well.
Leland, from your perspective, if you had the time to be any kind of volunteer early in your career or late, what kind of volunteer would you suggest someone be?
I think a great way to start is a member liaison. If there's an opening, it's a great way to be local and sure. still be tied back to ILTA. It's not a tremendous amount of work, but again, it's one of those ones where you can ramp up or down. Vermont is a fairly small community.
But Vermont's very close community.
We're a very close community.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's the same group over and over, and so you can be a little bit relaxed about it. You know,
sure.
Whereas I've spoken at ILTA events, say, on the West Coast with 30, 40 attendees. You know, in Vermont, there's maybe 30, 40 law firms total, and 4 or 5 of them will be at an ILTA event. So in that way, it was not difficult to host. It wasn't a huge time commitment. Everyone's kind of on board. Everyone understood. You know, we all know each other. We're a very close-knit community.
Yep.
And I think that's ILTA in general. You know, it's very insular. We know each other. We see each other over and over year after year, and we can ask, you know, how are you doing? What are you doing? I've got a problem. How do I solve it?
But it's supportive, and it's supportive not only in terms of your career. How do I do something? What was your experience with that? Which is vital, right? It's great to be able to call up random. You know, I can call up a CIO in Missouri and ask them about their experience with something. But it's also that if you, as a volunteer, as a speaker, you know, one of the first things someone said to me when I was an RVP, and we used to have to do these regional meetings where we would talk about, it was almost like state of the region, if you will. As that a longtime volunteer came up to me, because I was obviously very nervous and was pacing about, and she goes, remember, everybody here wants you to succeed, right? So that you're in the audience, you may think public speaking is not my thing, but if you look into the audience, everybody in the audience wants you to do well. They want to help you. If you flub things up, it's not like, ugh, this is the worst thing ever. Like, it's like, oh, it's a human, and they made a mistake, and that's cool, and we're going to move on. Like, they want you to do well.
One of my favorite ILTA stories is that my firm and another local firm were engaged in active litigation, you know, like in that moment, in the courtroom, and my attorneys came back from a long day at court, and they were saying how great the presentation technology was from the other firm, how slick it was. Their tech was great. It looked great, made a huge impression on the jury. They were so jealous. I want that. How do we get that? What do we need to know? I said, say no more. And I picked up the phone. I called the IT director of the opposing firm, and I said, your tech is blowing us out of the water. What did you do? And she told me
and
everything.
And that is also.
Every caveat, every warning, every red flag. She said, I did this, and I don't think you should. I would do this instead. Warmed my heart.
I think that there's a level of, we talk often, and other people that we work with, other friends, people who aren't in legal tech talk about their companies being families. I hate that phrase. It's a joke. It's not that we're not going to have each other for Thanksgiving, because we would, because we could.
And we would be just as dysfunctional as our regular family's
right.
Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. But there is a level of kindness and decency that is pervasive within legal technology at its core level, that we know that we can go into our community boards and ask a question. I'd like to leave you both with this. There is a level of kindness that is missing often in the world around us. Mm-hmm. And the last 18 months have been hard. Legal technology has moved everyone forward. They've gone home, they've gone back into the office. If you could hope for one thing for 2022, what would it be?
I mean, aside from a full in-person ILTA, you mean?
Well, that's a given.
I think if I had to wish for one thing, it's that we learn from this, that we don't waste this, because it's too easy to squander a trauma on this level. Mm-hmm. You know, to say, well, we survived and that's good enough. It's not. We need to learn. We need to grow. We need to change. We need to do better. And I'm seeing that. You know, the more firms I talk to, they're rethinking things. They're looking at remote work and hoteling offices. And, you know, do we need a major footprint in a skyscraper in the middle of an urban area?
Sure.
Or can we be smarter about this? And then from there, you know, can we reach a larger talent pool? Can we hire differently? Can we change our practices? Can we go paperless? You know, what can we do that's better? And if I encounter firms that aren't thinking like that, that's the first thing I try to plant in them. That's that seed. How do you plant a tree that's going to grow from here and make you a better firm in the future?
Good luck following that.
I'm actually going to go along with that, though, because I think that it's about, you know, looking at this and saying, okay, here are the things we discovered we actually didn't need, and things that weren't really important that we thought were important, but were perhaps just easy, right? Like that we lacked intentionality about some things. It was easy. And I think about things like communications. You know, my firm, we have one central office, and it was really easy to just stick your head in somebody's office and talk to them. And while that was great, and I'm not belittling that, that is not intentional communication. And so when intention about what you do, intention about your communication, intention about your job, about what is important, I think is something that it came out of this, and I hope that we don't lose that, is that we get to have, let's look at what is really of value. What's a value to us as a firm? What's a value to us as our clients, right? And how do we maximize that But without the, you know, what I call performance aspects that were there because they were easy.
I really like the phrase. I know this is going to sound really odd, but on the back of a bathroom door the other night.
Welcome to Vegas.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
They had a phrase called the sustainable social responsibility. Mm-hmm. If you had a question, you could call. If you were concerned about something, you could call. That's the level of sustainable social responsibility is something that I think ILTA has always taken a step forward to. Our DEI has definitely taken a step forward that way. And I think things that both of you have covered takes that step forward. The only thing we can do is take that step forward together. So I'd like to raise a glass to Hopscast, to ILTA, to both of you, to Angela and Leland, to your service. Thank you both very much for being all together amazing opportunists and certainly amazing volunteers. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Well, I am.
Solange, mein Hype.